Climate change and trade are on the agenda as the G20 summit is underway in Germany. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. Protesters are doing their best to disrupt the meeting of world economic leaders in Hamburg today. Dozens have been arrested and more than 100 police officers injured. Much of the focus today is on the anticipated meeting between President Trump and Russian leader Vladimir Putin. But global trade is another big issue. The BBC's economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us. Andrew, what are you watching today?
One of the things that's a kind of shadow over this summit is this question about whether the United States is going to invoke national security concerns to impose new trade barriers to imports of steel and also aluminium. The issue there being that ideally the United States industry should be able to meet the essential needs for those metals of the US military. The European Union has already started getting itself ready to retaliate if that does happen. And we're getting reports that the kind of things that they've got on their potential list of things to impose barriers on include Kentucky bourbon, orange juice. And what's really striking about those is that we're looking at states that voted for President Trump there in the sense of Kentucky and orange juice, which means to a significant extent Florida. So it does seem there may be a degree of political targeting going on.
Now, Trump's measure limiting steel imports is aimed at China, right? But so why is Europe so concerned about this?
Well, for one thing, China has already been significantly affected by various other trade measures taken by the United States. And this is not just about President Trump. It's something American administrations have been doing for years, imposing anti-dumping, anti-subsidy actions against Chinese importers. And they're important, the Chinese suppliers. But the EU, in particular, Germany is a significant, although by no means the largest, exporter to the United States. So that's one concern. And even if one of the possibilities that the Trump administration, I think, is considering is not specifically targeting particular countries, just imposing a general higher tariff, which would affect potentially all steel suppliers.
So could the U.S. be on the brink of a trade war with Europe, or do you think this is just early posturing?
There certainly is early posturing going on, but I have to say the serious trade wars haven't happened for quite a long time, certainly not between the United States and Europe. But the heat of the rhetoric seems to me, at least, to be rather more intense than I've seen for quite some time. And there is no question in my mind, at least, that the Trump administration does bring an approach to trade policy that has raised the stakes somewhat.
All right. The BBC's Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, Amy.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up about 0.4%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are mixed, with the Dow future down 5 points, or 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 2.38%. In about an hour and a half, we'll get the Labor Department's employment report for June. Economists are expecting roughly 170,000 new jobs added to payrolls, with the separate unemployment rate holding steady at 4.3%. The pace of job gains has slowed down in recent months, suggesting the economy is near what analysts consider full employment, meaning it's getting harder for some employers to find qualified workers. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman takes a look at some of the most in-demand jobs.
One way to figure out which occupations are most in demand is to see where employers are raising salaries to attract new workers. Andrew Chamberlain tracks this for job site Glassdoor.
Pharmacy tech, registered nurse, software engineer, data scientist. If you're in any of those jobs, it's a tight labor market.
He says employers are also struggling to fill online retail jobs like warehouse associate and delivery driver. William Dunkelberg at the National Federation of Independent Business says construction workers are scarce in some regions.
That sector shrunk dramatically and now it's trying to expand. And the workers that were there, you know, went somewhere else when they lost their jobs.
Many manufacturers say they can't find enough skilled workers, though Andrew Chamberlain isn't convinced since wages are actually falling for some factory jobs.
You have to be skeptical when you hear anyone saying that they can't find enough workers if they're not raising wages.
Chamberlain says one of the hottest jobs right now is recruiter. In a tight labor market, employers look to these HR types to find the workers they need. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Hilton opened its 5,000th hotel last month, but it wasn't one of the luxury properties the company is known for. The new hotel in Oklahoma City is the first in Hilton's new low-cost brand called True, without an E. It's part of a trend happening across the hospitality industry as major hotels look to bring in millennials. Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Hilton's trendy new chain will charge you $100 a night for a small room, but you'll have a larger lobby to hang out in and amenities like a fridge stocked with local craft beer.
This has really been driven by the extraordinary growth of the millennial generation.
Douglas Quinby with research firm Focusrite says hotels can't afford to leave this growing group of price-conscious travelers behind.
Today, 1 in 3 travelers stay in rentals, like on Airbnb.
The market for cheap hotels is big. About 30% of nightly demand is for rooms under $83. Jan Freitag is with the research firm STR. He says hotels have added amenities to their mid-scale brands, like Hilton's Hampton Inn, but they were not designed to be cheap and chic.
As those mid-scale properties move up the food chain, up the price point, there is now a new underserved niche for a true mid-scale brand.
Hilton's True joins Marriott's Moxie and Best Western's lower-end Glow hotels in trying to serve this niche market. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
And Tesla is back in the news today, but not for its electric cars. The California-based company has won a contract to build the world's largest lithium-ion battery in Australia. The battery will provide emergency backup power for the state of South Australia. The company could use a boost. Its shares have fallen almost 20% in the last week over concerns about car sales and competition from other car makers. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer, Janet Nguyen. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.